Our annual Summer Reads Show. Okay, so it's not exactly beach or hammock weather yet, but the sun is shining and summer is coming. Are you already daydreaming about which books you will read at the beach or at the camp or on the patio? The guests on today's program sure are. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today is the day book lovers come together on Maine Calling to share their enthusiasm and recommendations for summer reading. So, whether you favor fantasy, binge on biographies, reach for romance, pine for poetry, or crave crime stories, we want to hear from you. Post to our Facebook page, send us an email, tweet, or call. It's our summer reading celebration next. But first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Get ready to take some notes. Well, we'll have a list at the end anyway, but you might want to take some notes. We are talking about books to read this summer, from mysteries to nonfiction, books for young and old. We will hear suggestions from our panel and from you. Please call or email or text or tweet. Joining me in the studio, Megan Fraser Blakemore. She is the author of Secrets of Truth and Beauty, a novel for young adults. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Meg also works as an elementary school librarian. Megan Hawks is a bookseller at Sherman's Maine Coast Books in Damariscotta. And Kenny Breckner is owner of Devonay, Doak, and Garrett. You usually say DDG. Am I pronouncing it right?
Right on all counts.
Oh, good. At booksellers in Farmington, DDG Books in Farmington. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for book suggestions in a particular genre? Or what have you read recently that you would recommend and why? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. You know, this is kind of a thing that you see in all, not just, Maine Calling is not the only media outlet that does a summer reads list. You see it in newspapers and magazines and on the internet. And so I think there might be something to it, but I'm wondering, Megan, and I'm turning to Megan Fraser first. Do you read differently in the summer? Is summer indeed a time to read for you?
It is. So for my job as a librarian and as a writer for children, I tend to read a lot of children's books. And over the summer is when I read grown-up books. So that's when I dig into my mysteries and my page turners and my beach reads.
Are you sort of all year thinking, oh, I'll read that this summer, or and I'll read that this summer?
Yes, I keep a list going, and I'm ready to write down some titles today.
Okay, what about you, Kenny? Do you read differently in the summer?
A little bit. I mean, I look forward to it all year to have those really immersive reads that are like kind of the glory days of the, you know, times in my life when I've been able to read, and just completely immerse for days at a time. And I get a little more of that over the summer, which I really look forward to. And I do keep and set aside some of the bigger books that are weighing down my coffee table.
When you say you are able to do immersive reading, is that because you take time off of work, or do you think it's more psychological? It's summer, so I'm going to...
It's some of both. You know, we do take a week on Monhegan where I can really go for it. You know? But it is a little bit the later sunlight and just spending more time outside and, you know, just all around the season of it, you know.
Right, because you can read inside or outside.
Now you tell me.
Megan, what about you?
Oh, well, on the one hand, like Megan said, I do suddenly dive into the mysteries over the summer. I think there's just something about sitting outside, like whether it's on the beach or wherever, that just the mystery seems like the surprisingly cozy thing to do. But beyond that, I'm actually part of a nonfiction book club that meets once a month. So that never alters all year. I'm always reading something that makes me think a little more in depth about a topic than just a mystery does. So I get a bit of my usual thing still trucking along, and then some of it's like, oh, these are the fun things I've stocked up for when it's bright and sunny and I want to just read something fun.
Is there a place you read in the summer? Are you a beach reader or a...
I am, although my mother once dropped a book into the ocean and then I didn't do it for a little while. But by the ocean seems like a good place to read.
Maybe by the ocean, not in the ocean?
Exactly.
What about you, Kenny? Where do you read in the summer?
Oh, on our dock or on our patio, my two favorite spots.
Yeah. So, and you, Megan?
On the beach or in my backyard.
Yeah, yeah. So, what is it about outdoors and reading? Obviously, it's light, but there are also bugs.
I don't know. I think it is sort of like, it's for me, hearkening back to childhood and those long days and just lying in the grass and reading. And I'm more likely to read a book in one go than to take several weeks to get through a book.
Okay, so let's start with recommendations. We'll maybe do a little, we'll go around a couple times. Megan Fraser, what are you really excited to read, or what have you read that you're just excited to share?
So the book I've been looking forward to probably since the fall when I met the author, it's called Midsummer's Mayhem by Rajani LaRocca. And when I met her, she said, well, it's about Shakespeare and there's a cooking show and it's a middle grade novel. So I was like, I am so into that. And she, you know, all of her events, she's baking things. And so I'm really excited to read that. That comes out June 4th.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm also really excited for a new anthology. It's edited by Oleg Vemisola Rude Perkovich. It's called The Hero Next Door. It's a short story collection written by a wide range of authors, and it's put out in conjunction with We Need Diverse Books.
Okay, and those are both coming out soon. Not out yet.
Not out yet.
Wow. Okay, what about you, Kenny? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I love time travel books, and this is really hot right now. There have been some great ones. And there are four books coming out this summer that are my favorites that all deal with three core elements that they share, even though they're extremely different, which are the science of time, the integrity of personal identity, and the nature of memory. And my favorite book that's coming out soon is Blake Crouch's Recursion for Adult. He wrote Dark Matter. He's one of these guys who was having a solid middle-list career and then all of a sudden had some kind of an epiphany. And he suddenly took it to another level. Dark Matter was stupendous, his last book. And it dealt with the idea that you could move laterally in time through different probabilities, but not up or down. The lead character was essentially kidnapped by another version of himself.
Go ahead.
Recursion, it's built around a scientist who is watching her mother with Alzheimer's and is possessed with the idea of memory mapping, of creating a chair where you can literally map a memory and reinsert it after you lose the ability to have those memories anymore. And another element gets into it, which allows you to be physically inserted into your own memories in the past. And it goes horribly sideways. It's so much fun.
Would you characterize both the books you were just talking about as science fiction? Is that a genre anymore?
I thought about that, and I would not, in a sense, yes and no. I mean, I think of them as almost, it's funny, I was thinking about that when I was driving down. Is it literary science fiction? Well, these are thrillers, too. They're cross-genre. They have a strong science fiction backbone, but these are great love stories. They have all kinds of other elements that I wouldn't think of them certainly as hard science fiction.
Well, and this cross-genre does seem to be something that's sort of out there right now, not just in books, but also in television and movies and
true.
Things like that.
Yeah, no, definitely true. So the second book was really interesting for me because it's called All the Nows That I Can Get. It's by Shanna Youngdahl. Shanna, it's coming out with Penguin Press, Major House. Shanna is super local to me. She's a professor at the University of Maine at Farmington. She's been a customer forever. Well, maybe not forever, but for a long time. I know and really like Shanna. She's a great egg. So I was thinking to myself, man, I am so biased about this book. You know, I have to get super serious and like tamp down and become like really critical, which I did. And came out on the other end, just knocked off my seat and just thinking this book is awesome. You know, it's it deals with a group of four kids who are big fish in a small pond in a small town in Colorado. And because they're all high achievers and they've become friends almost by happenstance or just by the nature of things. But Scarlett is in love with physics and she follows Einstein's idea that there's the perpetual now, the past and the future are just holograms. It's all what page you're on. So it's got an incredible narrative structure with time. It moves back and forth tremendously. Scarlett feels that she's like a very careful person who rarely makes mistakes. And you start to realize that she doesn't see herself that well, that she makes a series of unbelievable mistakes that have and you're so attached to her and she's doing so many stupid things, you know, and you're just drawn in powerfully as a reader. I just, absolutely loved the book, you know, and I think it's going to do great.
So that Shanna Youngdahl, and it's spelled Youngdahl.
That's right.
Again, we're taking notes. We're going to have a list at the end of the program. The list that comes out of this program every year gets lots and lots of shares on Facebook and lots of hits on our webpage. Megan Hawks, your turn. What have you just read and you loved, or you're really looking forward to?
You know, I actually amusingly just read a sci-fi book that I've been really excited about, and it's actually a collection of short stories. It's How Long Till Black Future Month by N.K. Jemisin, and a lot of people actually might have heard of her in the past few years because she wrote the Broken Earth trilogy, which actually is the first trilogy to win the Hugo Award for Best Novel for all three books. And, you know, it's largely a kind of old school white guy sort of genre, or at least that's how people think of it. And to have, you know, a young, energetic Black woman win the Hugo 3 years running was pretty exciting. But she wrote this book called How Long Till Black Future Month, that the title is actually a reference to an essay she wrote. And it's sort of hearkening back to where sci-fi really started, which is a lot of short fiction. It's a lot of books that she responds very directly to sort of classic stories. She responds directly to Ursula Le Guin story in it with her first one. And I'm actually not going to reveal how it ties into it because it's really fun to see how that story grows and makes its point. But one of her biggest themes is, you know, how the idea of science fiction and imagining the future and creating other societies is really more of a reflection of how we can communicate with each other and ourselves and what community really means. She doesn't really write stories that have, you know, a big bad guy that needs to be defeated. They're much more compassionate and humane than that, which I think is something a lot of people don't expect from their sci-fi. I know you guys were saying that you thought it was sort of, oh, the cross-genre thing. And I think sci-fi opens itself to that very nicely, because by imagining other worlds, you can put in anything you want. As long as you believe in the world, you can talk about any genre within it.
Okay, so that's How Long Till Black Future Month by N.K. Jemisin. What else?
Yeah. You know, I really am excited about the third book in the Golden Wolf saga by Linnea Hartsiker coming out. That one is called The Golden Wolf. The first one is The Half-Drowned King. And it was her debut novel, and it's this gorgeously, lushly realized version of medieval Norway. And the general overarching story is about King Harald the Hairfaired coming to power, but the two main characters are a brother and sister named Ragnvald and Svanhild. And it's this huge, sprawling adventure that really, she paints all of these wonderful characters, this very believable setting, and you just love them so much. And even historically knowing how this ends up with a unified Norway, with Harald as king, you really want to know what's going to happen next. And the third book, like I said, is coming out in August, and that's plenty of time for people to read the first two because you zoom right through them. She's a wonderful author, and I think she's from New Hampshire, so yay, New England.
So that's Linnea Hartsiker, and if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have recommendations, if you have questions for our book experts, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email at talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. I'm going to start with a Facebook post from Beverly. She says, and I have a feeling this is for you, Megan Fraser, "I'm looking for books for my daughter who will be 16 this summer. She has been a reluctant reader because of learning differences, particularly dyslexia. She's going on an overseas service trip in July and wants to take an e-reader for the long airplane rides, layovers, and downtime. I'm thrilled that she's starting to love reading and would appreciate her knowing of books she can put on her Kindle and enjoy reading and listening to." So somebody who's 16 but maybe is a reluctant reader or a late to loving reader, any books that just every kid who comes into your library and your life loves?
So I'm sort of thinking of Maine writers now because of Kenny's mention of Shauna, and Jillian French has a new book coming out called The Missing Season, and she writes really great mysteries and thrillers for teens. So in this one, it's a small town in Maine, and every fall, kids go missing, and there's this whole legend of what's going on, and a new girl is going to try to figure it out. And I think, you know, books like that where you just get wrapped up in the mystery are really good for reluctant readers or readers who are just starting to embrace reading. I also think that there's a lot of, like, older middle grade, younger young adults. So, and I'm going to forget the name of the author. Her first name is Lisa, and she writes a lot of great novels in verse. Do you know who I'm talking about? So novels in verse would be the other way to go. So people who do that would be Kwame Alexander has some great novels in verse. Ellen Hopkins is really well known for her novels in verse. And those books are, again, you're reading them really quickly and you can just gobble them up.
Okay. Anything to add, Kenny?
I really loved Otherwise Known as Possum, which I thought was just this incredibly wonderful story that's so accessible. It's interestingly, the author wrote it on her deathbed, even though the editor didn't realize that. She didn't find out until afterwards. And it deals with it's set in the 1930s in rural Georgia, and it deals with a girl who's lost her mother, but she wants to keep everything it was as the same, and she has to come to the realization that trying to keep things the same itself changes things. Trying to freeze the world around you, it's just incredibly funny and moving and uplifting at the same time. It's just such a special book that I recommend it for kids.
Otherwise known as Possum.
Yeah.
Okay, Megan, your turn.
You know, sometimes kids who are sort of reluctant readers really react very well to graphic novels. And there's some really great ones out there for middle readers at the moment. Raina Telemiger's Smile and its sequels are really fun. They sort of deal with the issues kids are, you know, going to have in school. She also wrote one called Ghosts, which might be one of the most beautiful young reader graphic novels I've seen. It deals with two girls sort of coming to terms with the fact that the younger sister has a terminal illness, but it's not maudlin, it's not depressing. It's actually this very sweet, really lovely sort of coming of age story.
And what's the name of the author again?
Raina Telemiger.
And had Telemiger a quick.
I think it's T-E-L-M-E.
It's got a G. It's Telgemeier.
It's like a spelling bee.
T-E-L-G-A-I-M-E-I-E-R.
Okay. Okay, great. And also a kid question here, an email from Libby. I'm looking for a good book to read to my grandkids, ages 9, 8, 7, and 6. A book that will take maybe 2 to 3 days to finish and keep their attention, and maybe even something really funny.
Oh, my gosh. You want a book with everything. Kenny's raising his hand.
I love, there's this new series out called Claude, the Evil Cat Warlord of the Universe.
Claude, the Evil Cat Warrior of the Universe, okay.
K-L-A-W-D-E. It's funny. It's engaging for all the different ages. Claude is a great first-person narrator. He's up to no good at every stage of his life. And in the books, we've having great success with it, and it's like everybody loves it. I'd totally go with Claude.
Okay, great recommendation. Either of the Megans, Megan?
Yeah, it's a little bit older now. It's called The Misadventures of the Family Fletcher by Dana Allison Levy, and it's four brothers who have been adopted. So they have that same age range, and each chapter is a different brother's story. I listened to it on audiobook, which was fantastic.
Oh, and that would be fun for her if her kids are the same age as the protagonist in the book. Yeah, and what about you, Megan?
Oh, goodness. I think you can't go wrong with the Penderwicks. Even if the younger kids, you know, need a little bit of help keeping up with the story, it's just a fun adventure of a group of kids over the summer. So,
okay, the Penderwicks. Is that one book or a series?
It's a series. The Penderwicks is the name of the first one. And, oh, my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the author. Birdsall.
Yes. Gene Birdsall, yeah.
Good job. I'm impressed at your memories generally. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. We're talking about summer reads on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Black Cow Burgers and Fries, a cocktail bar and soda fountain on Exchange Street in Portland with dine-in or takeout service, blackcowburgers.com. And Maine Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
With unemployment near a 50-year low, workers who once had trouble finding jobs are now in demand, including those with disabilities.
99% of all the people I run into would much rather work than collect a disability check. And that's just the truth.
Moving from the disability rolls to the payroll. That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered is today at 4 here on Maine Public Radio.
When Shabana was just 6 years old, she went undercover.
Every day was like a mission.
Like something straight out of a spy movie.
We left home at random times. We came home at random times. We couldn't pass the same convenience store every day.
And all of this stealth, all this secrecy, just so she could go to school.
In order to get an education.
Going undercover, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
That's coming up tonight at 11 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, book suggestions for the summer. Joining me in the studio, Megan Hawks, who is a bookseller at Sherman's Maine Coast Books. Kenny Breckner, owner of DDG Booksellers in Farmington. And Megan Fraser Blakemore, author of young adult books and an elementary school librarian. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now is Scott Von Doviak. He is the author of Charles Gate Confidential. Scott, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Tell us about your book.
Well, it's a fabulous beach read.
If you do say so yourself.
Yes. It's based on an actual crime, the robbery of the Gardner Museum in Boston, and it's known as the largest art theft in history. It's an unsolved crime, and it took place in 1990, and I kind of used it for my own purposes. So I moved it back into the 1940s, and the book unfolds in three different time periods, all revolving around this same building, this real building in Boston, Charles Gate, which was built as a hotel in the 1890s and had several different incarnations along the way. It was a college dorm in the 1980s when I lived there, and it's currently luxury condos. So the book sort of rotates through these time periods, and you see the heist and the aftermath and the people trying to catch up to the loot, basically.
Scott, I understand that you've had some good reviews and one big endorsement.
Yes. Well, we got a big, nice big cover blurb from Stephen King. If he's listening, thank you very much. The book is published by A Hard Case Crime, and actually Stephen King has written two books for them in the past. And so he's the editor has his contact information, and he told me he'd send it along, and of course there were no guarantees. He gets a lot of books. He might not read it. If he does read it, he might not like it. But one night I looked at my phone and it said, Stephen King is following you on Twitter. And I thought, well, he probably isn't doing that if he hated the book. And sure enough, I got in touch with my editor, and he said, yes, he loved it. And he's giving us a blurb for the cover. So, thank you very much. I grew up, in Down East Maine. I grew up on his books, so it was clearly a dream come true for me.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for calling in. Congratulations. Scott Von Doviak is the author of Charles Gate Confidential. And now on the line with us, Jerry Boyle. He's a former reporter and the author of crime novels. His 12th Jack McMorrow mystery called Random Act will be released next week by Island Port Press and has an audiobook on Audible. Hi, Jerry.
Hi there. How are you?
Congratulations. Number 12. Holy cow.
Oh,
that's impressive.
Well, it seems so, but that's 12 ideas over 20 years, so I think I better be able to generate that much, I guess.
It seems as though the crime genre has grown in popularity. Why do you think that is?
I think it's grown in popularity in Maine, especially because I think when times get tough, people want to be transported away from their real life, and crime novels and crime fiction are a very vivid, kind of instant way to leave your real life behind. If they're done well, they're gripping, you're invested in the characters, and yet you know that something bad is coming. And so I think with the good ones, even though they're about murder and mayhem and all those kinds of things, that you you feel a need to join that world. And the other thing about them is that in most parts of the crime and mystery genre, you know that bad things are going to happen, but in the end, there's some kind of justice served. So in a way, we create disorder, and then we order it all in the end.
So tell us about Random Act.
Well, it's set in a city in kind of central Maine, and it begins with the protagonist, Jack McMorrow, who's a former New York Times reporter who's lived in Maine for as long as I have. He's on an errand. He goes to a big box store, and he's in a big hurry. And in the parking lot, an older woman is getting out of her car beside him, and she has a cute dog, and she tries to engage him in conversation, you know, just like a chatty, friendly person would. And he kind of brushes by her somewhat and keeps on going because he's on a schedule. And then a few minutes later, he hears a scream in the store, and it turns out that this same woman has been murdered by someone, you know, right in the aisle with the Christmas decorations. And so it goes from there. He doesn't want to accept that this was, in fact, a random act, I think partly to assuage his guilt over not having chatted with the woman. You know, he's kind of wrecked by thoughts that, well, if he had talked, you know, she would have entered the store five minutes later, and maybe she would have been spared. And so the book begins from there, and he tries to figure out who she is and why this terrible thing happened to her.
Well, Jerry, it sounds exciting. Thank you so much for calling in. That's Jerry Boyle. He writes crime novels, and his latest is Random Act, coming out in June. So do you all have crime novels you want to pitch in with this?
Sure. Well, the one I thought of, there's a great middle grade novel called Moxie and the Art of Rule Breaking by Aaron Dion, and it also is about the Gardner heist. It's sort of another fictionalized version, where it's about a 12-year-old girl who's going to perhaps solve this mystery. So it might be fun for families to read those two books together and then take a little field trip down to the museum.
For me, one of the things about summer is binge reading. And one of my favorite, a series I really recommend is Greg Hurwitz's Orphan X. It deals with kind of like this black ops program where they recruited orphans and trained them highly. And Orphan X has kind of jumped the grid. He's living in this sort of secret lair inside of like a regular high rise, you know, and he's doing this kind of pro bono vigilante work. In the same time, the government is the remains of the program is out after him. It's incredibly likable and fun, and I totally recommend it, engaging with it in your summer.
You know, there's actually a mystery book that we have all been forcing on people at our bookstore. It's A Gentleman's Murder by Christopher Huang. And it technically came out last summer, but I think a lot of people sort of missed it in the rush of summer books. It is one of the best homages to Golden Age mysteries I think I've ever read. It takes place in London just after World War I. And the main character works as an editor of mystery books, so he's sort of tired of all the tropes. But, you know, a murder does happen that he gets involved in, and it's just a really satisfying mystery. It does a really good job of laying out all the clues without being too obvious. The end is very satisfying without being like a deus ex machina. And it sort of cleans up some of the issues with Golden Age mysteries. The protagonist himself is half English, half Chinese, which sort of puts him in an awkward social place in the 1920s in England. And it ties into a lot of, gender and racial and social issues that would have been prevalent at the time, and doesn't push them in your face, but it just sort of says, hey, we're dealing with something where the social tensions actually matter in terms of a murder. So it's just a really satisfying mystery. I think a lot of people will really enjoy it.
We have emails from Jean. Jean is taking part in the panel today. I really appreciate this. Her memoir recommendation is Heartland by Sarah Schmirsch. Kenny's nodding his head. Her life growing up in poverty in Kansas, yet determined to break the cycle of teenage pregnancies. That was the history of her family, a favorite memoir. Nonfiction, Becoming Mrs. Lewis by Patty Callahan. Joy Davidson and her friendship and eventual marriage to C.S. Lewis, beautifully written and compelling. Fiction, A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles, Count Rastrov's life confined to the Metropole Hotel in Moscow due to his house arrest, hard to put down. Poetry, How to Love a Country by Richard Blanco. Enough said. That's what Gene says. And for fun, The Bar Harbor Retirement Home for Famous Writers by Terry Lynn Defino. Famous Authors, Place to Live Out Their Final Years. Just an interesting and decent read. Well, thanks, Gene. Thoughts on any of those, guys?
I loved Heartland. That's a special book by Sarah Schmarsh. It's a rumination on class set in rural Kansas, where she writes the book in part referring to the child that she never had, because if she had had it, she wouldn't have been able to move on and leave the environment. It's just, I love that book. Highly recommend it, yeah.
We'll go to Maggie calling from York Beach. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. My favorite summer genre is short story, and I thank you for a couple recommendations, and I'd like to hear more. But I did have a question. I love to read. I love to collect books. I prefer a hard copy to a paperback, but I cannot read a book on ebook. It's not turning the page. It's not feeling it. And I just wondered, I know two of you are booksellers. How do you feel about this? And do you like ebooks? Or personally, I hate them.
Thoughts?
I actually read an article at one point where they said that our brains actually interact differently with something on a screen because we're trained to multitask when we're looking at a tablet or an e-reader or whatever it is. Whereas with a book, we're trained that that's what we're doing at the time. And, you know, I think e-readers are great if people are traveling somewhere and just want to be able to bring a whole bunch of books with them without weighing themselves down. But if they're really just treating themselves to something as sort of an indulgence, this is what they're doing for their day. I found a lot of people who say exactly that they just love having the actual physical book in their hand as an object they love for itself.
Unsurprisingly, I totally agree. There's nothing more interactive than a physical book. Less is more. You know, when you do the work to have in the theater of your mind as you're doing the work to project the book into your own thoughts, there's nothing that can replace that. And I think with children particularly, these are skills that you want them to develop. These interactive books just take away the experience and project the work that the child should be doing his or herself. So I would, if I could save a human life by reading an e-book, I think I would.
And what do you see for the kids, the generation that's grown up without knowing anything, you know, a world without electronics? Do they read books that you hold in your hand differently than they read e-readers?
I think they probably do read them differently. I know I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old myself who have Kindles, and they just, it's almost like a consumption of the books through the tablets, and I don't feel like they go as deep when they're reading that way. There are a lot of great apps for reading for kids, like Epic, where you can get access to really great books and you can read them quickly. And they're great for travel, as Megan said. But I do think the kids really do still like the paper books. And it's a lot easier to snuggle up with a paper book than an e-reader.
Maggie, thanks for your call. Oh, and I think Maggie also wanted some short story collection suggestions. Have you all have some you haven't thrown out there yet already?
Friday Black by Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya. So much fun. He's just all in. He's got this take no prisoner style and talking about race that's like supremely entertaining and challenging as a reader. You wanted great short stories this summer, I'd go for Friday Black.
Okay.
Also, Karen Russell has a new short story collection coming out called, I want to say, The Orange World, but her old one, too, which was The Vampire in the Lemon Grove and Other Stories, is really great. She has a great sense of place, and she tends towards sort of hot climates, so they're really good during the summer, and she hops all over the place in terms of her themes. They're really fun.
Okay. Well, there you go, Maggie. Good luck to you, and thanks for calling Main Calling. We'll go to John, who's calling from Jefferson. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey. Okay. I want to promote a Maine author, Rivera Sun, S-U-N, like the thing in the sky. And she's under 40, and she's already an accomplished writer of several novels. The one I like the best is called The Dandelion Insurrection. And it's about the contemporary times that we're in, about surveillance, excuse me, throat's a little dry, surveillance everywhere and how people combat it. It begins where she was raised, right up at the Canadian border, most farthest north you can go and still be in Maine. And then it spreads from there. And it's an exciting book, and she's written sequels to it. And she also has a kind of mid-children's range book. One is called The Lost Heir, H-E-I-R, not A-I-R. And so she's very good. You check the reviews on Amazon. You'll be blown away by what people respond.
Well, John, thank you so much for calling in with that recommendation. We do have to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your recommendations. This is Maine Calling. We're talking about books.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Seniors Plus, Western Maine's agency on aging, Meals on Wheels, and more for older adults, disabled adults, and caregivers. SeniorsPlus.org. The law offices of Joe Bornstein, a statewide practice representing injured and disabled Mainers since 1974. JoeBornstein.com. And Maine Farmland Trust, celebrating 20 years of growing the future for farming. Share your stories and get involved at MaineFarmlandTrust20th.org.
Next time on The World, a Filipina down on her luck is offered a job to care for seniors in a group home.
She'd be one of two workers taking care of up to six residents.
My salary is only $50 in 24 hours.
That breaks down to $2 an hour.
A reporter for Reveal tells how healthcare workers are being exploited on The World.
The World is today at 3 here on Maine Public Radio. On the next Speaking in Maine, Saudi Arabia, reliable ally.
The Trump administration, more than any previous American administration, openly involved itself in the politics of the Saudi ruling family.
Dr. Gregory Gauss is professor of international affairs at Texas A&M University. He spoke at the Mid-Coast Forum on Foreign Relations in Northport about Saudi Arabia and its relationship with the United States. That's coming up on Speaking in Maine, Wednesday afternoon at 2, here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Summer Reads. Joining me, Kenny Breckner with DDG Booksellers, Megan Fraser Blakemore, author and librarian, and Megan Hawks with Sherman's Maine Coast Books. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. So, Megan, I have to ask you, what's next for you? What's next in your writing?
So I actually have three books coming out in June.
Three? Yes, three.
On June 4th, I have a middle grade novel called The Story Web, and it's about a girl named Alice. And when she's little, she gets lost in the woods and finds this huge web, and her father tells it's a story web, which is the stories that connect us all. And then it picks up in fifth grade. Her dad is gone. She stopped playing hockey, which was her favorite thing to do. All of her friends have sort of left her. And then all of a sudden, these animals start coming into town, and they seem like they're trying to contact her somehow. Well, it turns out this web is breaking, and she needs to figure out how to put it back together to save the world from the freezing, which is what happens when we don't believe in stories anymore. And then June 18th, I'm launching a chapter book series about a third grade inventor named Frankie Sparks, who solves everyday problems by inventing things.
Were you writing them at the same time?
No, they're very different. The story web's, a little darker, a little heavier, and Frankie is very light and very fun.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. Looking forward to those. Quick email, summer teen reading, The Wave by Todd Strasser. Let's see here. From Bonnie, I would like to recommend Literal Books, new release, North by Northeast, an anthology of short stories by writers from Maine and New England, beginning in the fishing village of Cape Porpoise and ending on a deserted beach on Prince Edward Island with a stop in a desert motel, a city bar, and a stateroom on the QET. North by Northeast takes the reader on a journey around the state of Maine, guided by 13 writers of keen observation, wit, wisdom, compassion, and humor. Well, thank you, Bonnie, for that recommendation. We'll go to Jim, who's calling from Hamden. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi. I would like to recommend a book called Chocolate City, A History of Race and Democracy in Our Nation's Capital by Chris Ash, A-S-C-H, who's a professor at Colby, and George Musgrove, who's a professor at the University of Maryland. It covers the history of race and voting rights, really, in what is now D.C. from the times of the British invasion of the Native American territories there, right up through the Mary and Barry era and the Barack Obama era. And
wow.
It is an absolutely fascinating historical book with 86 pages of endnotes and a huge bibliography at the end.
Well, thank you, Jim, for that recommendation, Chocolate City. We'll move to Jean in Booth Bay. Hi, Jean. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Jennifer, for your wonderful talk shows. I would like to recommend two books by Alan Lightman. I wonder if your readers, experts today, have heard of him. The current one is Searching for Stars on an Island in Maine. And the second is A Sense of the Mysterious. And there are lots more that I'm looking forward to reading. I think the titles tell you a lot, but he is a professor of physics and a professor of humanities, both at MIT. Doesn't that tell everybody enough to know they've got to read these books?
Jean, you have to look back through our archives. We had Alan Lightman, Professor Lightman, on the show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I'm
it was
so
really
glad.
Fantastic. But I'll throw this out to my guests. Have you all read? No.
Oh, yeah, no, Einstein's Dreams is what would put him on the map for all of us. And there's no better way to engage with Maine booksellers than putting Maine in the title of your current book. It's been a big seller and been nothing but love at the store, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Jean, and sharing that. We'll go to Bear, who's calling from Wells. Hi, Bear, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, Jennifer, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to call about a book that I've been interested in mindfulness for quite a while. And this is a book called Minding Race by Ruth King. And it's kind of a heavy book from the point of view there's a lot of things that she suggests, activities that you can do. But I've been looking for, because I've been working in the field of anti-racism for over 20 years, and I was looking for something that would have mindfulness in it, and I just found it very helpful.
Baird, let me ask you, how do you pronounce and spell the author's last name?
It's Ruth King, K-I-N-G.
Oh, K-I-N-G, okay, not Kane, King. Okay, great. Well, thank you for the recommendation very much.
Thank you for the show. It's really good.
Great.
Bye.
We have an email from Larry. I would like to encourage readers to check out Ruth Moore, a Maine author of note who faithfully captured the essence of Maine life in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Her compelling novels, tales, ballads, and poems feature complex, realistic characters, both Mainers and those from away. If you love Steinbeck, I guarantee you will enjoy this Maine treasure.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of the Ruth's books are still kept in print by Gulf of Maine Books. His Blackberry Book Arm out of Brunswick. So,
are these beloved by readers in your bookstore?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. We'll go to Monica, who's calling from Freeport. Hi, Monica. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I was just calling to recommend a summer read for everyone would be any of James Heyman's books, H-A-Y-M-A-N. He is a local author. He lives in Portland. And his McCabe Savage thrillers and police procedurals are really excellent and well-crafted and really fun to read.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that tip. We have an email from Nancy. I highly recommend a book from the past and suggest everyone revisit it. Watership Down by Richard Adams, a wonderful book of leadership, societal tribulations, individual trials, cooperation and competition, reflection and growth, and just a delightful adventure for anyone approximately 12 years and older.
Got to go there. And try his Shardik, too. Also great.
Okay, so you agree.
Oh, totally.
All right. So let's see. Here's a Facebook message from Marilyn. Jacqueline Winspear's Maisie Dobbs series just came out with the newest volume, The American Agent. But read the series in order, exclamation point. Start with Maisie Dobbs, the first in the series. Set primarily in London and Kent, Maisie is a psychologist and investigator in the 1920s and 30s, but her story starts in the pre-World War I era, during which she is a tweenie, a Cambridge scholar, and a nurse at a cleaning station at the Somme. Mystery, history, and deep insight into human nature. We'll go to Meadow, who's calling from Thompson. Hi, Meadow. Go ahead.
Hi. I love the emphasis on children's literature that you have been sharing, and I'd love to recommend two main authors with middle grade novels, Gail Donovan and her novel Finchosaurus, which is currently up for a Maine Literary Award, and Because of the Rabbit by Cynthia Lord, two books I've recently enjoyed, and to also share about my own children's picture book series called Lantern Hill Farm, and it's actually based on a friend's farm in Woolwich, and my current book is The Best Birthday. So something fun for younger readers as well.
Well, congratulations, Meadow, and thank you for the recommendations.
We have just an overabundance of children's authors in Maine, and Jennifer Richard Jacobson, who is probably best known for her middle grade novels, has a new picture book coming out called This Is My Room, No Tigers Allowed, and she visited our school as the guest author last week and gave us a sneak peek to our kindergarten and first graders. And it's about a little girl who gets her own bedroom for the first time, and she goes in and she's all proud of herself, and then there's a lion in the room, so she writes a note, no lions allowed. And then the next night there's a bear, she said there's no bears allowed. And then there's a tiger, and she writes no tigers allowed, but the tiger doesn't leave. And she said, what's the matter, can't you read? And I will let you fill in from there. It is delightful.
I will say, Because of the Rabbit, Cynthia Lord's new book is stupendous, and I'm glad that got brought up. And there, as Megan's saying, there is an abundance of fantastic middle grade authors in Maine, but I have to mention Diane Magris. Her Mad Wolf's Daughter is so good. It's set in a medieval Scotland, with this war band, when the youngest of them is a girl after her family is captured, takes up their rescue, but does it so on her own terms. That is such a strong book on so many levels. Don't miss it.
And actually, the sequel just came out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's another one to look for.
Hunt for the Mad Wolf's Daughter, which was even better, I thought.
It really adds to it nicely.
Oh, God.
What strikes me every year when we do this program is what we really need is not time travel, but time expansion.
Yes.
We need to have more time to read all of these wonderful books. This is from Joanna. I want to thank you for doing a show on books and reading. Also, a reminder how important it is to keep your local independent bookstores. They keep our communities vibrant, just as reading and books keeps our minds vibrant and healthy. Megan and Kenny, I suspect you agree with Joanna.
Let me think.
It's very kind to hear.
But thank you.
But let me ask you this, though, Kenny, because DDG Books has been around for a long time, right?
Yeah, 28 years.
Wow,
yeah.
That's congratulations. That's really something. What do you think is the magic? Why have you been able, I remember first when the big box stores came out, the big Barnes & Nobles, everybody was worried about local bookstores. And then now with online and Kindles and things like that.
Well, our mission has always been to share the love of reading with the community, and we do. We love what we do, and we love our outreach to the schools. It just means so much to us. And we've partnered recently with the Rotary to bring little ARC houses, little books into every school in the Mount Blue District, where we're taking our expired advanced readers and bringing them to the kids and made an online hub for them to write their reviews. It just launched. It's been 2 years in the making. And it just touched on so many layers of community in it. And I'm just so happy about it. And I just think that kind of community networking is something that keeps us going and keeps us out in the community's mind too.
We have an email from Bruce. The Martian by Andy Weir is one of the most engaging books I've ever read. It's a page turner from the start. It is also surprisingly hilarious. And Truman by David McCullough is a fascinating book. No president has had a more tumultuous first 100 days than Truman did. Actually, anything by McCullough will read well. I agree with you, Bruce. And we have had David McCullough on the show in the past and hope to have him in the future. But every time we do this program, somebody brings up The Martian. Beloved book, not just movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love The Martian. Artemis, I didn't like it quite as well as The Martian. It really stands alone. But I would recommend Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson to anybody who loved The Martian. That is a great space book. Yeah.
Okay. And people who really like good, hard sci-fi, like the science in this totally checks out. It feels very believable, very real.
Didn't he kind of crowdsource the science?
He did, actually. Yeah, a lot of actual scientists were like, no, this works. The only thing that they said wouldn't quite work is the way he ends up stranded in the first place. They're like, right. He probably would have died. But if you can suspend disbelief for the one detail, it really works.
Well, it was a free ebook, yeah. And that's when it was crowdsourced. When it was bought by the publisher, all that crowdsourcing had come in just accidentally almost. But yeah.
We'll go to Aaron in Berwick. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend a book for those of us who can only sit still on the beach for about an hour. It's a New Hampshire author, John Porter. It's called Preserving Old Barns. And you can use it as a manual or for a summer read, and it sits really nicely on your coffee table if you would just want to look at pictures of old barns. It is the second edition. John Porter is a wonderful, whimsical writer who spent his career at the New Hampshire Cooperative Extension, and he knows about barns and farmers. It's just a great book. So it's coming out in August, so it's one of those books that you can read in August and then start your barn repair in the fall.
Or just read in August. Aaron, thank you so much for calling in. Facebook message from Hope. A great way to encourage kids to get outdoors this summer is my new kids hiking guide, 10 Days in the North Woods, published by Island Port Press. It is a hiking guide embedded in a story about a young girl's trip to the Katahdin region with her family, and support a local Maine author. So good luck with that, Hope. Thank you so much. An email, not new this summer, but Memoirs of an Imaginary Friend. A recommendation. Deb says, I want to echo the submission regarding Ruth Moore. She's an incredible writer and deals with the complex people of Down East Maine. All Mainers should know her name. So I think that might be a great recommendation to end this half hour or this hour conversation on. Thank you all for being here. Megan Fraser Blakemore, the author of Secrets of Truth and Beauty, a novel for young adults and an elementary school librarian. Tell me again about the names of your two books coming out in June.
June 4th will be the Story Web, and June 18th, the Frankie Sparks series.
Great. Megan Hawks, a bookseller at Sherman's, Maine Coast Books in Damariscotta, and Kenny Breckner, owner of DDG Booksellers in Farmington. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Olivia Peruk took your calls. You can find all sorts of information, including, and give us a little bit of time, a list of recommendations on today's program at mainecalling.org. It'll also be on our Facebook page. So thank you very much to Andrew Catalina with our web team for that. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.